So this is my comfort place. It's comforting for me. I love to read, and I love to sip on tea and be cozy. I can control this scene, right? Except for where the plot goes in my story. I can put the book down when I want. That's way different than real life, right? I would have to say that as I age and have new experiences, my comfort zone has expanded. But I still get nervous when I try something new, when I walk into a situation cold without having met the person yet, when I have to engage with some sort of conflicted situation. I really have to muster up courage and do a lot of self-talk and prayer to enter into these situations. A time when I moved from a comfortable place in my congregation to an uncomfortable place was when I became a student pastor in a downtown Denver church. Our unofficial motto was St. Paul's, off of Colfax, between the hookers, the hipsters, and the homeless. Our official motto was, we feed hungry people. I became the pastor of the Sunday morning breakfast program that served hungry people, people who were food insecure and or homeless, people who were in need. And that was uncomfortable for me. I went from the pews to making bagged lunches for the lunch in the park with the homeless to actually serving them those bagged lunches and wishing blessings on them to engaging with them, talking with them, embracing them, and loving them each Sunday morning as they ate breakfast. I looked to the guardian angels that we hired for safety, and I looked to them for friendship. One time a guy in line for breakfast stabbed another guy with a knife, and I was there. This man about my age, and this is a different man, named Kenny, he stepped between me and the violence and said, you're okay, Pastor Melissa. Just look right at me. My interactions with Kenny changed me. One lady who ate breakfast there, too, pulled me aside and said, you know, he's a drug dealer. He's a bad man. He shouldn't be here. I didn't care. Kenny deserved to be there. Everyone deserves the right to food, the right to a new start, the right to be seen as a human being. Kenny and the people who ate at the Sunday morning breakfast program expanded my comfort zone. They also taught me to not be so naive and have my back to the wall at all times. You see, that experience shaped and molded my comfort zone. And my zone will continue to be shaped since I only know what I've known. Past traumas and the uncertainty and fear of the unknown will also impact my comfort zone. And in our story for today, we hear that Samuel enters into unknown territory and is called outside of his comfort zone. At the beginning of this story, we have a boy, an apprentice of sorts, who's living into the life his mother Hannah pledged him to when she prayed for a child, to the work of the Lord in the temple. And yet, the author makes it clear that Samuel does not yet know God. He was a young boy who was living in a time when visions of the Lord were not common. He didn't know what it was like for God to come to him, let alone speak to him and call him to be a prophet. He didn't know that Eli, his elder and mentor, had prepared him to be open to the presence of, hear the voice of, receive the vision of, and answer the call of God. God appears to Samuel in what we call a theophany, a divine revelation, and the third time God calls him in the dark, Samuel understands who it is as he has been taught by his God-seeking teacher, Eli. God calls Samuel to the life of a prophet that night, and Samuel enthusiastically accepts his calling. One of my commentaries noted that this story was more like a divine inauguration on Samuel's life rather than a call that he could answer. It was a bestowal of authority. Now, by the end of the story, Samuel has known the Lord. He enters into the unknown life of a prophet and becomes a human vessel to communicate God's words and intentions. Now, usually we just focus on Samuel's call story. I certainly do. It mirrors my own call to be a pastor, with God coming to me in the middle of the night at 3 a.m., night after night, and finally me answering, probably not as enthusiastically as Samuel. And many people know that time of night as the most sacred time because of their own experiences with God at that time. So you can see why it's easy to stop at this point in the story without exploring more. But today, I'm going to push us a little further into the story because it is, as we have heard, the story of Samuel coming into his prophetic identity and authority. The reason this story is so important is because it explains why Eli's family did not continue as the high priests of the temple. It's the story of the transfer of authority from the family who has it. Eli was a God seeker. He knew how to recognize God's voice and presence. He was faithful until the end. He just had rotten sons who did not follow the Jewish law of life or love God. And he couldn't restrain them from doing what they did. And within this call story, Samuel has to do something really uncomfortable. He has to share God's judgment with Eli. He wakes up and tiptoes, and Eli knows. He knows what's going to happen, and it's confirmed by his protege. What a difficult conversation for Samuel. What an even more difficult day for Eli as he accepted his judgment. Eli reminds me of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in that moment. Not my will, but your will be done, God. What an uncomfortable message to give and to receive. And yet God called both Samuel and Eli into that uncomfortable place to call a prophet and to call out injustice. For it is in the discomfort that we know something is wrong. We can intuitively pick up on these things. It was uncomfortable for me to go where I had never gone before in terms of the breakfast program. I had never spent time with people experiencing homelessness, who chose homelessness, who were experiencing food insecurity, people living in their cars, people living on the streets, people living with untreated mental illness. There is injustice there. There is a system that doesn't work there. And spending time with the people that unjust system impacted was extremely uncomfortable. But it took me out of my little box. Samuel, too, was taken out of his little box that day. From a wonderfully matched mentor apprenticeship, he moved to the role of a prophet, speaking judgment on his mentor's family. He moved into a different role, and his view expanded that day. And so we learn, discomfort is a gift of insight. It is a gift that stretches us and calls us to move. Many times that is to move into the unknown, to make a change, to grow. It is in the uncomfortable places where God calls us, where Jesus ministered, and where the Holy Spirit moves. It's hard to call out injustice. It's hard to step into the confidence and the calling that God has for us when we live into God's possibilities. That space is all unknown territory, and that's scary. We don't know it, so we fear it. But I want to invite you now to think of a time when you stepped outside of your comfort zone. What was that like for you? How did you feel beforehand? How did you feel during that experience? And how did you feel afterward? Did that experience have an impact on you? Did it inform your future? Did it expand your mind and your heart and affect your relationships with yourself, your neighbors, and with God? Engaging with uncomfortable places and discomfort changes us. It moves us to a different place, even if it's a small move. It's hard work. But at some point, we must answer God's call, friends. All of those holy nudges are at work in our lives so that we might wake up and see God at work, that we might feel the sunlight of God's glory on our faces and shining a light on God's grace and also on those places of injustice that we must work to heal, to forgive, to reconcile, and to resurrect. At some point, God breaks out of our boxes of who we think God is and how God communicates and works and breaks through to us through our limited thinking, through our walls that we put up between us and God and us and each other. When we answer God's call in the dark, that call that beckons us into the unknown, we take a risk to become the self that God created us to be. Coming out as a people and as a church from what we had known into a new identity is filled with anxiety, unknowing, and hope. Our image for this worship series is the process of a caterpillar transforming into a butterfly. A caterpillar knows the importance of the risk of this process of transformation. It has natural instincts about cocooning. It enters into the nurturing dark of gestation, the dark of the tomb, and is willing to enter into a stage of transformation, a liminal phase, a time in which it is in the in-between stage, not a caterpillar and not yet a butterfly. So, Aldersgate, are we willing to enter into that time as faithful people of God? Are we willing to ask the hard questions like, where are the uncomfortable places in our community? Are we willing to be the Samuel and the Eli of today's Bible story and step out in faith and answer God's call to go into the uncomfortable places? I want to share with you my experience of the small group gatherings in Lent. I had the chance to hear your personal stories of how you came to Aldersgate, why you stayed, about your gifts and your skills and your talents, and if you feel like you're sharing those here at Aldersgate, how you describe Aldersgate currently, and what you see the church being and doing in 5 to 10 years. I heard the yearning to spread our wings like a butterfly and really be in deep relationship with the community around us. I heard that we have a lot of potential, and we do. We certainly do. Dreaming with God and living into those possibilities is a resurrection practice, and we're doing that work now. We're in that liminal phase, no longer what we were since we've entered into this time of discernment, and not yet what we will become. We are constantly becoming. We've entered into our cocoon with lots of prayer and trust so that we can discern our mission and vision as the body of Christ in this time and in this place, and so that we can live into God's call on our lives as a church fully. We've entered into the unknown as a congregation, and that's no small feat. It's a courageous act. We're engaging in prophet work here. We're engaging in the faithful work of Jesus followers. I realize that I'm asking you all to step into the unknown, to answer God's call while you are still in the dark. And I'm asking for you to respond as Samuel did, with enthusiasm. Here I am, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And we can do that. We can do that by knowing that God is with us always, especially as we enter unknown territory, proclaiming to us, do not be afraid. I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me. I will be your God. I love you, and you are mine. We go into this unknown together as the body of Christ, praying all the way, loving each other well, and taking care of each other as we expand our view and our experiences to include those people in the uncomfortable places. We must take time with God by ourselves, too. Taking time to delight in and listen to God. And what I'm talking about is the practice of Sabbath that is absolutely vital to our faith life, our faith walk. And this is a resurrection practice. And I'll be teaching more on Sabbath at our first mini retreat at the end of the month. But all this to say, new things are difficult. Entering into a gestation stage is unknown territory. And we don't know exactly what we're going to emerge as come Pentecost Sunday when we fly free into our new identity. We don't know the uncomfortable places where God calls us to notice the people there, the circumstances there. But we can know that this walk together and with God, it's a faithful act. We can know that God walks with us, and we can know that we walk with each other. And we start now at a table, at a simple meal. We begin. A simple meal of bread and juice that's so accessible to all, that Jesus made special. He took something ordinary and named it as his. We are ordinary, but we are called. We are named. We are God's. So let us pray. Loving God, we remember you. We love you, and we are yours. Make these elements of bread and juice be for us the things you named them as, the body and blood of Christ, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, so that we might too bring life and point to your salvation as we do work in your name, in our community and in our world. All these things we pray in your name. Amen.